Duck. Transported aerially, the cockatrice's egg arrived x-rayed. What was laid on a racehorse farm in Kentucky was brooded by a little river nestled at the base of the Sangre de Cristo Mountains, trickling its way to join the Red Rio Grande, which divided the high desert plateaus of New Mexico from top to bottom. He hatched under neither a cool moon nor a blazing sun, but a bizarre, buzzing electric bulb. Baked from the shell, he never set right. While he was more fuzz than feathers, he seemed innocent enough as he trailed and trialed his siblings. Pure deception. That summer, the precocial paddlings pattered on my white tennis shoes, perpetually untied until they had to be removed to walk. Soon, six sisters were laid to rest by canine teeth. Two were left. One was laughing. The other flew off to flee his brotherly love. The last beast left was just too much to bear. His crest constantly flared above a permanently inflamed face with watering yellow eyes. His muscovy neck never stopped writhing, propelling his body into endless malfeasance. His dirty feathers shed no water, so he could not float, but he tried. His watery sputters could not be distinguished from his fiery breath, diminished to an interminable rhythmic hiss. No one near could escape the sound. With an eye for bigger things, he fell in love with a goose and pillaged flower beds, destroying rather than delivering blooms, before he went tilting at his imagined rival, a white auto. I followed the steps to this dance until I came to know it too well. Park in the predetermined spot, anticipate the incoming flight collision, open the escape hatch, watch out below, count how many times I got bitten. Repeat. I found ways to give the gift of flight that he wished for, but could not attain on his own, without giving it first to others. Place toe below the breast and lift. Consider it a kick without the impact, but delivering the desired effect. Distance. He'd soon pick a fight with the dogs and get his bloody comeuppance. Knowing he'd never back down, I took my time to separate them. One spring morning, he bit me in the back while I was Tom Sawyering the picket fence that kept nothing in or out, more decoration through fenestration than defense. Enraged, I roared and chased him frenzied over the light enough for him, but not for me, lid of a grease trap, and found myself up to my arms in rusty tetanus. I had days in bed to plot my revenge for the scars he left me. Come April Fool's Day, early in the morning, I grabbed him and put him in the pan that cooked the distant kin of his unrequited love. The stove, 3 feet from the freezer, contained their cooking grease I hoped would soon be his. His cursed tail feathers didn't fit. I impulsively grabbed the scissors, then I paused, for fear of losing life or limb or love. Whether venial or cardinal, for this sin there'd be hell to pay to a higher authority than me. So instead, I pinched his beak and took him back to his pen. To shut him up, I turned the empty feed bin over his head. I gave him a taste of darkness and me some peace in quiet. Returning passively aggressive, I left the dirty pan on the cold stove burner. When the only one that could love him woke, my mother witnessed my mess and coolly inquired, "What is the meaning of this?" I shouted, "Duck!" and tossed her feathers.